Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum, to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tess.
So, last week...
I don't think it's going to happen, Macca.
So, look, we'll just try and get Rhea Dillion back. She works for Fee Finney McDonald.
It's a law firm, Macca.
It's a law firm. And we're talking to Rhea last week about sexual harassment in the legal workplace. And that is this still, and I think it's not a question, is it still, is this, how big a barrier is this to females joining, you know, doing their degrees and joining a legal workforce. Good morning, Rhea. Hopefully we've got a better line for you this week.
I hope so. Thanks for having me,
Matt. Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Because, you know,
clearly.
Last week it was, but we could not hear.
I don't regret that, though, because I managed to get away before this next round of lockdown.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. So give us a bit of a refresh. Perhaps my intro, if you'd like to talk about, for all the work that feminism have done over the decades, in 2020, sexual harassment is still, and it seems to be a basic impediment to females joining the workforce in the legal sector.
That's right. And I think, we can look at it in that way, and that for all the work feminism has done, which I think is right, because the point we're trying to make is that we can't do it on our own. At some point, the people who were, for example, in on this open secret about Dyson Heydon's sexual misconduct or the allegations thereof, the people who were in on the open secret let it go for 17 years. And how can you expect any progress on feminism when those kinds of things are being swept under the carpet?
And it's basically by people, you know, sexual harassment in this instance, in what we're talking about, you know, against women by men, you know, one of the big reasons that it will stop is when men stop doing it. But when people actually don't talk about it, when they don't actually acknowledge, and as we know, for 17 years at least, people know that Dirty Dyson was out there. Yet they kept quiet or they looked the other way when he was appointed to the High Court. You know, John Howard would have consulted widely, I hope. I don't know that he did. Was he aware of this? Was he not aware of it? I don't know. Other justices knew about this, apparently. So we haven't come that far, have we?
No, that's right. I mean, it just remained a secret. No one thought... And the thing that strikes me, I think, is that, you know, had it been some other misconduct, some other criminal misconduct, it would have probably come to the surface much quicker. But it's just that sexual harassment is not seen in the same light. It doesn't have the same currency to actually destabilise systems of power in the legal profession. So, it just remained unattended to.
But why does it not do that? You know, so let's assume that a judge who was to be appointed or promoted, you know, had been guilty of credit card fraud, right?
That's right.
Why would, you know, and you're saying potentially that would come out, people would be aware of it. So why do people cover up or look the other way? I mean, look, it's, in a lot of ways it's like historical child sexual abuse, but why do people just shut up. You know, they don't say anything about it. Why is that, Rhea? I mean, I don't, you know, from my perspective, I don't understand it. Why does it happen?
Well, look, I think we're seeing this across the world with lots of, you know, systemic, these entrenched and institutionalised power just being able to sort of claim the lives and the of people. I mean, I'm not drawing an exact parallel to Black Lives Matter, but it is sort of that certain lives are less important than others, and the patriarchy has managed to, prop itself up and continue to support the careers of men over women. And, you know, we haven't even started the conversation about those experiencing, intersectional discrimination and those who, you know, don't identify in a gender binary manner. I mean, those conversations haven't even begun. And so we're still, I think, for as long as the patriarchy survives, essentially, this will continue. And the only way that, I mean, we've done, feminists and women have done a lot of work to try and chip away at that. But there's only so much and only so far we can take it until we have to turn around and say, look, you guys who are in on the secret, you've got to start doing something about this as well. You've got to call each other out. You've got to take this seriously, because we just continue. We will make no progress until you do.
Here, Rhea. I think that's exactly right. And if there's anything that we can do this morning, is that we can call on the entire community and males in particular to be much more conscious of this and take a role. Rhea, of course, Dyson is at the most senior point in Australia in our governance system. Sorry, our legal governance system in Australia. Is this a reflection of what's occurring throughout the entire legal system, or is this just a isolated example?
Oh, I think, I mean, it was a catalyst, that news a couple of weeks ago, for a whole lot of women to come out and tell their stories. It's obvious it's pretty pervasive, and it's obvious it's been going on for decades. Catherine Lumley told her story, I think, a little while ago in the Guardian about how when she graduated from the University of New South Wales in 1988, she graduated with her boyfriend at the time, and they both went to sit for interviews. And she was asked in her interview at a top legal firm when she planned to have children. And her boyfriend at the time wasn't asked the same question. You know, as a result of that, she leaves the law before she even starts.
Mm.
And that was 1988. And it's a horrible story. And I've got thankfully, I don't think many women have that story now. But what we do see is, like, 30 years later, those experiences of sexual harassment are still just as bad.
And it's actually going to take a couple of generations. We had a message from a listener that his cohort, when they're entering the professions, more women than men. And, you know, there's a lot of, gender diversity there as well. But until they get and hold the power, which you're talking about in some cases a generation, if not two, it's going to take a long time, you know, to change. And that's not allowing for the fact that there's still a lot of troglodytes who are at the top of the profession or near the top of their profession. They're going to retain power for a long time. I mean, there isn't an easy answer to this, but it needs people to speak up, doesn't it? But it needs the institutions that actually appoint the judges to actually have a closer look at the sort of people they're appointing, surely.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, I think that's right. And there has been a call from a whole lot of women in the legal profession that wrote an open letter to, I believe it was the Chief Justice of the High Court, sort of asking for those that scrutiny to be applied to judicial appointments. I think that's really important. And that at that juncture, these sort of open secrets are aired, because, you know, otherwise we have someone like that on the High Court for 10 years and six associates' careers that were ruined.
Yeah. Look, it's a very disturbing subject, Rhea. I mean, I'm actually not easily shocked, and I was shocked by these allegations, which, okay, the High Court in its own inquiry found had substance, and I know there's other legal activity going on around them. I was shocked by it because I am a great believer in the rule of law. I am a great believer in the independence of the judiciary. Sure, it gets challenged. Our minds get challenged by that sometimes. But I was really shocked by this and appalled by this. And it actually says to me, as a white male, how disgusting this is. I can't imagine how it feels to everyone else here that's not a white male, like females, that, you know, if this can happen in the highest court in the land and people just look the other way, we don't have a problem. We've got an endemic problem and we've got to fix it. We can't allow this to go on for a couple of generations. I don't know what the solution is, but yeah, I just want to say I was shocked and appalled.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and so was I. Like, I haven't reacted like that to a piece of news for quite some time, despite all the crazy things that are going on. When I read that, I was actually visibly and I was physically shaking.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's just disgusting.
And it wasn't so much just, you know, it wasn't just the news of the allegations, but it was, again, I return to the really disturbing part and where we felt, as female lawyers, we've been really let down by our colleagues and the leaders in the profession.
Well, entirely.
And we got on the phone, we got on, you know, Teams a few days later with a few of my female colleagues at Tiffany McDonald, and we thought, and we were just all saying, how come men admit that they were in on this open secret like it was some great thing to have, because they're part of an inner circle and they have access to that information. But I wouldn't be boasting about that if I was in that position.
Rhea, I know that you wrote a piece, co-authored a piece in The Guardian, and that's why that's what promulgated us to actually invite you into the studio for a chat this morning. But what can any of our listeners do who are either witnessing sexual harassment in the workplace or know of something? Is there anything that they can do that are you able to advise on that?
Well, look, there's always... This is what it's brought to the fore, is that HR policies and HR are not always empowered to do something. You know, can't address this as much as we'd like. They're sort of toothless tigers sometimes. There's certainly, you know, the Equal Opportunity Commission that's there to sort of take complaints, and I think the more complaints that are lodged and the more data they get is helpful. So I think that's, you know...
Who can one complain to?
It's the Victorian Equal Opportunity Commission. You know, if you just look them up, you'll see.
We've had Catherine Dixon in the studio on many occasions, and I think it might be time to bring her back in, Mac.
We'll get her back in. Look, unfortunately, Rhea, we're out of time. It was great to talk to you on a line that was nice and clear, so thank you for that. And, you know, we'll have you back at a future date. I'd like to have another discussion about this and, you know, whether you see in a few months' time whether the dynamic's changing at all. Have my fingers crossed. Hopefully there's some discernible forward movement.
Yep, I certainly hope so too. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A lot of comments from listeners, one in particular. This was a political appointment by John Howard. And, of course, John Howard also wrote a character reference for George Pell. So thank God John Howard's not hiring people for jobs anymore or writing references.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.